see this morning. Did you know that this is the lowest attended Sunday in the entire year? Time change Sunday. So you are an elite group of people. You made it out today. You are here. So thank you for being here. We're glad to have you here. You are the elite of the elite. Give yourself a hand. Yeah, just making it here sometimes is hard, right? I am glad that you are here today. Thank you so much for letting us as a family have off last week. We had a great time. We just took some vacation time with our family, and so it was a very good time, and we're glad to be back. We missed you. We thought about you last week as we were in the sun getting sunburned, and you guys were up here stressing out over snow and ice and all those fun things. But it is great to be back. We're glad to be here. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11 is where we're going to be going today. And today we are talking about an incredible word. It is a word that you're very familiar with. Matter of fact, you see it all over. It is a word that quite often gets brought up in interviews. It is a question that comes up in business mission statements. It's called integrity. You've heard of it. But we live in a day and age where we are more shocked by a person having integrity than we are shocked by the lack of integrity. No matter where you're at, no matter what realm of work you are involved in, whether it's in school, whether it's in politics, whether it's in business, even in church, integrity matters. But yet we are riddled with the effects of the lack of integrity. I worked for a company when I was in school. It was called MCI WorldCom. It was a competitor to AT&T at that time. And I first got the job by becoming a telemarketer. So I was one of the people that got to bother you and ring and try to sell you telephone business and service every time you sit down to eat. I was one of those guys you hung up on. Thank you very much. All right. You know you did too. You're like, nope, boom, and you just hang up. And so I moved into the realm of teaching, and I became a trainer for the salesman. And so I became a trainer, and so I would train, there were classes every week. I'd train people to go out, and then I would come back around, and I would help make sure that they were learning the sales techniques. And so we would walk through that. And so I got to train people on how to do this. And one of the things that we used in our training was this word integrity. Now, what was really funny about that, it was talked about in our training. It was talked about from management down. And if you know anything about the story of MCI WorldCom, we had a CEO, the guy who was running everything. He ended up embezzling millions and millions of dollars. Matter of fact, everyone who worked there, when it closed down, we all lost our retirement that we had been building up and all those shares. We lost it all, thanks a lot, to a lack of integrity. Integrity matters. But yet it's one of those words that we're not really quite sure how to define. I saw in the newspaper a cartoon. In the cartoon, you had the boardroom. A man walked into the boardroom, and as he walked into the boardroom, and he proclaimed, "This year, our strategy is going to be honesty." There was a gasp in the room, and one of the other board members said, "Brilliant." The person across said, "But so risky. Honesty. So risky, really." So here we are. How do we define integrity? Because we live in a day and age, this entire series came out of a study of Proverbs. In the evenings, my kids on Sunday evenings and afternoons, they go over to a church and they participate in Awanas, where they learn Bible memory verses and they work through different verses and understanding, and we make sure they're working through that. And then now that my daughter, who's in seventh grade, she's now in eighth grade, my oldest, so the last 2 years, instead of her going to Awana, she gets one-on-one time with dad. And so what she does is we go to Starbucks, because that's how I tricked her into coming, right, at first. So she said she wanted Starbucks, so all right, here we go. So then she spends time with me, and we walk through, and we talk about, and I disciple her, and we walk through different things. And last year, in her seventh grade year, we walked through the book of Proverbs. And as we did, what was an interesting conversation, she would bring up things and we would talk. And as we were talking back and forth, I began to realize how truly foreign these concepts are. That we talk about these words, and because we live in such a relativistic society, that was a big tongue full. We live in a relative society in which everything, you can say a word, but yet it has a different definition to anyone who comes in contact with it. So anything goes. And we began to realize how far removed we are from a Christian nation, according to George Barna. We're at least four generations removed from this being a Christian nation. The question becomes, where do we get our values? How do we get our values? Where are our values derived? We use the word integrity, and integrity sells. It markets very well. Businesses want to put it into their mission statements because everybody wants to have integrity because it markets so well. I want to do business with a company that's full of integrity. And so the question becomes, how do we really define it? If you have your Bibles, today we're going to be walking through, we'll be putting things up on the board. Proverbs chapter 11 is where we're going to start. We're going to bounce around all throughout the book today of Proverbs, and we'll be looking at some different principles of Proverbs and integrity. If you would stand for the reading of God's word. Proverbs chapter 11, go down to verse 3, and here's what the Bible says. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for your love and your goodness. I am so amazed by the opportunity to come and together freely with other believers. Thank you for this privilege. Thank you for the opportunity to sing and praise you. I pray that today, as we sang, it was a truly sweet sound in your ear, because it came from a heart that truly wanted to worship you. And God, I pray today that your Holy Spirit would have freedom in this place. God, would you move? Would you work? Show us where we need integrity. God, challenge us today. Give us the ears to hear and the willingness to apply it to our lives, so that, God, we walk out of here a different people. In Jesus' precious name I pray. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. All right, before we get started, I want to do one other thing. When you hear the word integrity, quite often what we do, first of all, is we just say, absolutely, I've got integrity. I'm good. You kind of almost sit back and say, I don't even really need to listen today because I'm good. I've got integrity. Or you're sitting back going, man, I am so glad my spouse is here. Or my kids are here, all right? And here's what I want to do. As we talk about integrity, your first priority is this. You ready? It's about you. When I prepared for this, as I studied this, as I walked through this, my first priority was not about you. My first priority was about me. When I taught this to my daughter as we walked through this stuff, it was not about her first. It was about me. Every one of us in here, in the deep recesses of our hearts, we will proclaim that we have integrity, but here's the question. Do we really have it throughout? And the only way that you can truly have integrity is if you're willing to do the hard work of today and not push back, but just say, God, like Psalms 139, David said this, search me, O God, see if there's any wicked way. Can you go there? The challenge is that for you first. Before you start trying to apply it to anybody else, look in, okay? So here we go. Let me give you some definitions, and let's begin working through this and setting up what integrity is. My 1824 Webster's Dictionary says this. This is how Webster defined integrity. It is wholeness, entireness, unbroken state, the entire, unimpaired state of anything, particularly of the mind, moral soundness of purity, incorruptness, uprightness, and honesty. So it is a wholeness, entireness, and an unbroken state. As I was doing research and working through this, I came across a story. It's one of my favorite speeches on integrity. I came across a couple years ago, and so I wanted to put it in here. It was a speech given by General Charles Krulak. He is a Marine, U.S. Marine. He's retired now. And he gave this speech to the Joint Services Conference on Professional Ethics. That's a great place to give a speech, isn't it? And so he begins to talk about integrity. Now, I'm not going to read the entire speech, but I will post the speech on my blog. HeathMarion.com. It'll be posted there around noon, okay? So that way you can go on if you want to read the rest of it. I'll put it on there. But let me just read some of this as he defines integrity and as he begins to walk through this for us. He says, integrity The word integrity itself is a martial word that comes to us from ancient Roman army tradition. During the time of the 12 Caesars, the Roman army would conduct morning inspections. And as the inspecting centurion would come in front of each legionnaire, the soldier would strike with his right fist the armor and the breastplate that covered his heart. And the armor had to be the strongest there in order to protect the heart from sword thrust, from arrow strikes. As the soldier would strike his armor, he would shout, "Integritas," which in Latin means material, wholeness, completeness, and entirety. The inspecting centurion would listen closely for this affirmation and also for the ring that well-kept armor would give off. Satisfied that the armor was sound and the soldier beneath was protected, he would then move to the next man. About this same time, the Praetorians, or imperial bodyguard, were ascending into power and influence, drawn by the best politically correct soldiers of the legions. They received the finest equipment and armor. They no longer had to shout "Integritas" to signify that their armor was sound. Instead, as they struck their breastplates, they would now shout "Hail Caesar" to signify that their heart belonged to the imperial personage, not to their unit, not to the institution, not to a code of ideals. They armored themselves to serve the cause of a single man. A century passed, and the rift between legion and the imperial bodyguard and its excesses grew larger. To signify the differences between the two organizations, the legionnaire, upon striking his armor, would no longer shout "Integritas," but instead would shout "Integer." Integer means undiminished, complete, perfect. It not only indicated that the armor was sound, it also indicated that the soldier wearing the armor was a sound character. He was complete in his integrity. His heart was in the right place. His standards and morals were high. He was not associated with the immoral conduct that was rapidly becoming the signature of the Praetorian Guards. The armor of integrity continued to serve the legion well. For over four centuries, they held the line against the moderating Goths of Vandals and Vandals. But by 383 AD, the social decline that infected the Republic and the Praetorian Guard, and it had its effects upon the legion. As the 4th century Roman general wrote, quote, "When, because of negligence and laziness, parade ground drills were abandoned, the customary armor began to feel heavy, since the soldiers rarely, if ever, wore it. Therefore, they asked the emperor to set aside the breastplates and the mail, and then the helmets. So our soldiers fought the Goths without any protection for the heart and the head, and were often beaten by archers. Although there were many disasters which led to the loss of great cities, no one tried to restore the armor to the infantry. They took off their armor, and when the armor came off, so too their integrity." He then continues and he writes this: "My challenge to you is this, but often difficult. Wear your armor of integrity. Take full measure of its weight. Find comfort in its protection. Do not become lax. And always, always remember that no one can take your integrity from you. You and you only can give it away." And then he concludes with Proverbs 11:3. The challenge for you and I is this. We hear the word integrity, and then we are in political climate where we it's thrown out all the time. Integrity, character, conservatism. We hear all these big words. And the question becomes, where do we actually define it? How do we define it? And I want today to do this. I want for you to feel the weight of what integrity is. And then I want for you at the end of this to be committed to being a man, a woman, a high school student, a middle school student, a person of integrity. So let's define it. If you have your bulletins, open it up. I'm going to give you a list. I'm going to give you several things. You will want to write these down so that way you can go back and look at them. And we're going to define, we're going to work through, and I'm going to give you a lot of verses out of Proverbs to help you understand integrity and how it looks and what it looks like in our lives. So your first line, let's define integrity. Integrity is the matching of words, actions, and beliefs. Now, I could have just said words and actions, and we've heard that before, but I want to include this idea of beliefs. Proverbs chapter 4, 20 through 27. Proverbs 4, 20 through 27. It says, "My son or my daughter, be attentive to my words, incline your ear to my saying, let them not escape from my sight." So he's giving you some instruction. He says, "Listen up, for they are going to be life to you, and they're going to give you healing." And then verse 23, now he begins to walk through what integrity is. It says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. Put away crooked speech, devious talk. Let your eyes look directly forward and don't gaze on anything else. Make your path straight. Go forward. Go walk after the right things." Your integrity and my integrity is this: actions, words, and beliefs. It's all of it put together. This is who we are. So that when we are in public, it is the exact same as what we are in private. So that our beliefs and our behaviors actually match. Jesus had the harshest criticism for those who were religious in his day, and yet their hearts were furthest from God. Just because you're at church or just because you're good people doesn't mean that you're full of integrity. The danger is this: there are areas in our lives that we are great with integrity, and then there's other areas that we're okay with fibbing just a little bit. Where our actions, beliefs, and our words all match. Just to say that you love God doesn't necessarily make it so. What I want us to work through is to look into our life to understand the goal is integrated into every area so that at work, we're a person of integrity. At church, we're a person of integrity. In our homes, we're a person of integrity. When we're by ourselves, we're a person of integrity. You know what the difference between integrity and what people look at and how they see us? You can change their perception and you can fake people out. But you cannot change your integrity in a moment. Integrity takes time. So their perception is one thing. But who you are when nobody else is watching, that's your integrity. Actions, words, beliefs. So when you have integrity, here's what Proverbs 11 said. We just read it just a minute ago. Integrity, number two, your blank will be this. Integrity will be a guide for your life. The integrity of the upright guides them. Will guide you. When you make the commitment to be a man or a woman of integrity, here's what happens. It begins to play out for you. It begins to lay out, these are the choices I'm willing to make. So in every area, when I choose to be a person of integrity, it automatically defines and guides me in my choices that are presented. So example, let's start off with, again, my daughter, when we were talking through this and we were working through where she was at. She enjoys school. She wants good grades. So for her, part of the temptation could be that she would give up her integrity in order to cheat or in order to get good grades, right? So we had to walk through. Your integrity matters. And when you make the choice to say, I'm going to be a person of integrity, automatically it guides you and says you shouldn't cheat. Does that make sense? Let me move into some more realms. Dating, college students. When you make the choice to say, I'm going to be a person of integrity, automatically it impacts what you do in your dating relationships. It automatically changes it. If you're going to be a person of integrity, how you interact with that young man, how you interact with that young lady is automatically impacted. But if you choose to say, you know what, I'm not really for sure who I'm going to be, then you can just flutter with every whim and every feeling and every emotion that you have. Your integrity will guide you. Let's keep moving through this. Taxes are almost due. Yeehaw. Are you ready? When you have chosen to be a person of integrity, then automatically it changes how you present your taxes, doesn't it? You will actually make sure you turn in the correct receipts. You'll make sure that you don't skim just a little. It guides you on even doing your taxes. Let's talk about this. It even guides you when you go into your marriage and how you interact with your spouse. To actually say this, when I buy something, I'm going to make sure I tell my wife. I'm going to tell my spouse instead of ignoring them in the marriage. Because part of having integrity is that I'm not going to hide something from her, right? Integrity. What about your business travels? When you go on your business trips, the receipts that you turn in, maybe you turn in just a little bit more. Maybe you actually buy more than you have to because, hey, it's on the company. Why not? Maybe you're turning in your mileage and you're turning in more miles than you should. Integrity. When you make the choice to be a person of integrity, it guides the other decisions in your life. All right? Keep going. Integrity. Integrity. Here's the next one. Integrity keeps the promise even when it is difficult or the situation changes. Now, I could have stopped with integrity keeps a promise. I could have stopped there. We would know that and we'd all agree, right? But quite often what we do is we give the top two excuses for breaking our promises, for not keeping our promises, are these excuses. Well, I can't keep it because it's difficult now. It's a little too hard. Or maybe I can't keep the promise because situation and the circumstances have changed. I can't do it. But when you give your word, here's what Proverbs 6 says. He says, my son, if you have put security for your neighbor, or you have given a pledge to a stranger, if you are snared in the words of your mouth, caught in the words of your mouth. I like how he uses the phrasing, don't you? He says, you made a promise. It was a bad promise. It was a quick promise. It was a promise that wasn't correct, but you made the promise. He says, so here's what you need to do, my son. You need to actually run. You need to go, and you need to try to get it right. And as you try to get it right, and you beg, and you actually plead, and you humble yourself, and as you try to get it right, if they're unwilling, then what's he say next? Like a gazelle, you run as fast as you can, and you get out of that snare. You get out of that trap. You fulfill that obligation as fast as you can so that you can get out of it, so that you fulfill what you've done. Integrity keeps the promise. This past week, my daughter had a field trip. And in this field trip on Thursday, one of the things that happened for me was that I had promised and I had worked through the field trip. And I had worked through this is what I need to do. I had turned it into the school. I was going to be a chaperone. And so all of a sudden, because of how vacation fell and some things that happened, it began to change my week. And all of a sudden, I started talking to her. And she's like, babe, I need to change. I can't really do this. And we're having this conversation. And you know what happened? I began to realize I was breaking her heart. I was like, whoa, wait a minute. Time out. I'm teaching the wrong thing. I gave a promise. And even though the situation changed, even though circumstances changed, this is what I promised. Dads, moms, it's easy to break promises with our family. Why? Because we just kind of get into that groove of they'll forget it. They'll just move on. And they still love us, right? And it's one of the most dangerous things that we can do. It guides you when you say, I'm going to be a person of integrity. It helps you make the choices. And then it moves us to this next where we begin to say, okay, this is who I'm going to be, so I'm going to keep those promises no matter how difficult or how hard. Let me give you the next one, integrity. Integrity provides the foundation for a successful life. For a successful life. And the lack of integrity will be the ceiling for success. Let me explain this because I think this will be crucial for so many in this room. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9 says this, whoever walks in integrity walks securely. When you choose to be a man or a woman of integrity, it begins to be your foundation for which life begins to build. And as life begins to build, and as positions begin to open up, and as you move up those ladders, and as you move into new leadership realms, what happens is this. If your foundation is strong, it gives you the base in which you can climb and you can do more. At the same time, watch what happens. But he who makes his ways crooked will be found out. No matter how high you climb, no matter what leadership positions you go into, you eventually will be found out if you lack integrity. Proverbs 28:18 says this, whoever walks in integrity will be delivered. It will deliver you. But he who is crooked, his ways will suddenly fall. Let's talk about this for a second now. So your foundation, integrity builds the foundation for you. And it allows you to be able to move up. Now, there's a good chance you're going, well, Heath, I've seen many men, many ladies who climbed up and who got into leadership positions, and they lacked integrity. Tell me how that works. It does work, and it does happen. But eventually, their leadership displays through stress, through difficulties, it begins to expose the lack of integrity. This past week, one of my daughters, she had a project due. This project was over one of the presidents. She was assigned a president of the United States. So we had to research it, and we had to walk through it, and then she made a ceiling tile out of this thing. And so it was going to be a presentation. Guess who she was given? President William Clinton. Not even kidding. I mean, it was like, okay. So here we go. So we started talking about her, and we started talking about just who this guy was, and the president, how many great things he did. And he did some good things. The economy was strong under him. I mean, there were some good things that happened. And then we come to this word. He's the only president who's been impeached. Well, Dad, what does that mean? Well, and so then we have to start talking about, why was he impeached? Well, what did he do? Well, he lacked integrity. He lacked character. He acted in ways that he should not have acted in a position of leadership. He was found out. And as he was found out, what also happened to him is it tainted his entire leadership, didn't it? It will be the ceiling. If you lack integrity, it will be the ceiling for which you are able to climb. Let me give you another way. In reading a book, it was called The Success Syndrome. A Harvard medical school psychologist, Stephen Burgless, he wrote the book on the success syndrome. And he talks about, and the entire book is written about, people who achieve success and they go to great heights in their leadership. But they lack the bedrock of character to sustain them through stress and the difficulties of leadership. And he says, when you lack integrity, lack character, you are destined for one or more of the four A's. Let me give you the four A's. He says at least one, and many times you will have more than one. You might have two or three that are displayed. So here's what he's talking about. Listen up, especially college students, as you're trying to climb. You can have skills, you can have talent, but all of that will fail you if you do not have the bedrock, the foundation of integrity. Does that make sense? He says if you climb, maybe because you've been given skills, maybe because you have talent, and you climb really high. He says, and you lack this bedrock. You're destined for at least one, if not four. Here's what the four A's are. Arrogance. You're destined for arrogance. And he says, all of these will bring disaster in your life. Arrogance. Aloneness. The painful feelings of being alone. You will be alone because you've climbed over everybody, pushed everybody down. You will hurt people, and you will be alone. So arrogance, aloneness, adventure seeking. Destructive adventure seeking, where you have to go from thrill to thrill. Or adultery. Adultery. He says, you lack the bedrock of character. It will come out. And that's exactly what Proverbs tells us. It will come out. And you are headed for disaster. And he gives four specific after studying multiple men and women in leadership. I want for you, especially college students, as you're listening to this and as you're working through your leadership and you're growing, if you have all the skills in the world, it will fail you if you don't have integrity. It will fail you. Work on your integrity first, and everything else will come. Integrity first, and then everything else will come. All right, so let me help us walk through one last thing. Integrity. You want to follow through with integrity. Here's what will happen for you. It increases trust, respect, and influence. You want to gain influence with people? Have integrity. You want to gain trust with people? Have integrity. You want to gain respect? You don't demand it. You have integrity. The longer you have integrity, the more you'll be able to influence people, the more the trust will rise. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7 says this, "The righteous who walks in his integrity, blessed are his children after him. Here you go. You ready? As a dad, I want my kids to be able to trust me, right? I want to be able to have their respect. I want them to respect me. Also, I want to be able to influence them to make good decisions. It's really easy to influence 4-year-olds, right? I mean, you're the dad, you tower over them. Still in elementary school, it's tough, but you can do it. When they begin to hit their teenage years, you ready for this? Watch. Mom, dad, listen. If you want to influence, it starts with integrity. If you're one thing here at church and everybody oohs and awes over you and your godliness at here, but then you go home and you cuss like a sailor and you live with a lack of integrity. You never read your Bible. You're never praying. You're never being kind. You're never being a servant at home. Let me just help make sure you understand this. You are destroying the very relationship that you seek. Too many times when we close the door, we put on the face out here, and when we go back home, we lose it in front of our kids. We lose it in front of our spouse. And I want us as people, I want you to gain influence with your kids, and the only way you gain it, be a person of integrity. I read a story, R.C. Sproul, in his book, Questions Answered. He begins to tell this story, and he tells the story of a dad who lived in Germany, and they were Jewish family. And as Jewish family, they were highly involved in all the traditions. And they would go to synagogue, he would lead in the family worship, he would do all those things. And then one day the job would just kind of began to dry up, and they moved. And he had came home and had told the family, we have to move to another German town. So they leave and they move to another German town. And when they got there, there was not a Jewish synagogue anymore. So the family began to ask the questions, what are we going to do now? What should we do? And the dad announces, we're going to go to the Lutheran church because that's where we need to go. And this teenage boy, he begins to ask the questions, but dad, what about the Jewish tradition? We are Jewish. This is who we are supposed to be. And the dad said, this is not who we are anymore. We're no longer Jewish. We're going to the Lutheran church. The son asked, dad, why? And he said, this would be good for my business. The teenage son began to be frustrated. And as he began to process the information, he left home. And when he left home, he was extremely frustrated by all religion. He was working through it. He goes to England. He begins to study. And he would go to the British Museum. And at the British Museum, every day he began to write. And as he began to write out, he was forming his thoughts. And he was forming thoughts such as these. Religion is nothing more than the opiate of the masses. He completes his book. His name's Karl Marx. And it revolutionized an entire world because a father lacked integrity. You will influence your kids. You will influence your spouse. You will influence those at work. You will influence people. Sociologists tell us that even the most introverted, quiet person, mild-mannered person will influence over 21,000 people in their life. So whether you say, hey, I'm not charismatic, I'm not a leader, you are still going to influence people. The question becomes, is it good or is it bad? Your integrity will be what defines who you are. So we have to end this way. The question becomes, what is your integrity worth? How much is your integrity worth to you? How much is it worth to me? Proverbs chapter 19:1 says this, it is better as a poor person who walks in his integrity than one who is crooked in speech. Which would you prefer? Would you prefer to be a billionaire without integrity or a poor person with integrity? How much is your integrity worth? Let's just talk for a second. Ready? Here's how much your integrity is worth to you. Go all the way back to the illustrations I just gave. Illustrations such as in school, you're willing to cheat to get a good grade. Your integrity is worth an A. That's all your integrity is worth. You sold it for an A. What if you cheated on your taxes? What is your integrity worth? It's nothing more than a few $100s or even a couple thousand. You sold your integrity for nothing more than just a few $100s. I heard a story of a lady who she would buy a dress and she would hang it up in her closet for 2 to 3 months. And then she would wear it. And when she wore it for the first time, her husband would say, "Hey, did you get a new dress?" And she would answer, "No, I've had this for several months." Her integrity was the price of a dress. What is your integrity worth? We're okay with our lack of integrity, but when we see it in other people, it infuriates us, doesn't it? We get mad and upset by it. But here's what I want us to do. I want us to go to the deep recesses of our hearts and ask the question, God, where am I showing a lack of integrity? Maybe it's on my business expenses. Maybe it's taking things from the office that aren't mine. Maybe it's taking that ream of paper. Maybe it's the stapler. And you're going, "Heath, are you kidding me? All those little things." I'm talking all those little things. Because if you're willing to take those little things, your integrity is nothing more worth more than a piece of paper. It goes all the way throughout your life. And integrity means the entirety, the wholeness. Does that make sense? What is it worth to you? And if it's worth more, if you want it to be worth more, then you have to be willing to lay it down and say, "God, from here on, no matter how hard it is or how difficult it is, I will be a man or a woman of integrity." So what if today you're going, "Wow, Pastor, that's pretty good. Thanks. You kind of hit me. Okay, so there's some areas I need to work on." What if you find yourself not being a person of integrity? And you look back and you say, "Okay, last week, 2 weeks, last month, 2 months." Where do you go from here? Here's where you go. First of all, you have to start with the God who centers everything. If you are not a believer, a follower of Jesus Christ, you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, this message is nothing more than a good speech that gives you some resources to do better. And that's not what we're trying for. I'm not trying to just make you a better person. You see, to be a person of complete integrity means physically, mentally, and what? Spiritually. You need to be right with God. It begins the process of being a whole person, one with integrity. So if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you need to get that right with Him first. It starts there. And at the cross, Jesus says, "I forgive it all." Now, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and yet you found yourself over the last week or 2 weeks, and you say, "You know what, over the last year, I've not been living a life of integrity," where do you go? It starts with this: repent. 1 John 1:9 says this: "If you confess your sins, He is faithful and what? To forgive," right? Faithful and just to forgive our sins. So you ask for forgiveness, you repent. Say, "God, I'm sorry." And then the second thing is this: you have to go apologize. That's hard. You have to go get it right with somebody. "Hey, I stole from you. Hey, I misled you. Hey, I did." You have to get it right. Apologize. And the third is this: you now begin to build integrity. Just in case you're under a delusion, integrity will not be built in one day. If you have lost it, you've lost trust, you've lost respect, you've lost influence. If you've lost it, it will take time to regain trust. And integrity is built not in a day, not in a week, and not even in a month. Teenager, if you've lost it because you've been lying to your dad and mom about where you've been, you've lost integrity. You have to regain it, and it takes time to regain. Does that make sense? It takes time. So be willing to build a life of integrity, and in 6 months, in a year, in 2 years, people will say, "Wait a minute, that person right there, I know in the past, but look what they've been doing over the last year, over the last 2 years." Let's become a people of integrity.